This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Since 1981, National Crime Victims' Rights Week has challenged the nation to confront and remove barriers to achieving justice for all victims of crime. During National Crime Victims' Week, we recognize the accomplishments of the victims' rights movement and reflect on how far we've come. This year, National Crime Victims' Rights Week will be commemorated April 6th through the 12th, and Riverside County will be hosting two candlelight vigils in honor of crime victims and their families. Here to tell us more is Patty Cardenas, Assistant Director of the Division of Victim Services for the Riverside County DA's Office, and Regional Manager Karina Meza Vasquez. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Pepper. Thank you for having us.
Start by telling us a little about National Crime Victims' Rights Week and why it's so important to Riverside County.
Sure. National Crime Victims' Rights Week was initiated back in 1981 by then-President Ronald Reagan to raise awareness about the needs of crime victims and promote laws, policies, and programs that help victims. Prior to 1981, the victims were generally an afterthought, unfortunately. The criminal justice system focused predominantly with the defendants that were going through the system. And so it really has been a movement that has initiated from other victims of crime, requesting and asking and demanding that their rights be heard and that they be heard. So one of the things that has happened is National Crime Victims' Rights Week began in 1981. Our office has had a Division of Victim Services for 45 years now. And in doing so, we have been able to honor National Crime Victims' Rights Week in different ways. And I'd say for the last maybe 15 years is when we have really established the tradition of our vigils countywide. And we host a vigil in Indio, another one in the Riverside office. And they've really become a tradition and something that families look forward to coming to time and time again, and as an effort to come together and to really gather in community and spend some time with the DAs who prosecuted their cases and just really bring awareness to what crime does to the community.
As you said, you're holding two candlelight vigils countywide this year. Can you share what inspired the DA's office to hold these events?
Sure. I think that there have been a series of different events that have been hosted in Riverside County. Different administrations, different DAs have done different things. We've done things like marches, luncheons, different things like that. And the vigils hold a special place in people's heart. I think we recognize that several years ago. There was one year in particular where it was raining the night of the event, and we thought, oh, it's going to be a bust. We're not going to get that many people coming out tonight. And instead, what we saw as we looked out, it was just a sea of umbrellas, and people huddled together under those umbrellas, still holding their candles. Mm-hmm. And we realized just how important it was for families to be able to have that space and that opportunity to come and gather. Another example of that was COVID. We weren't able to hold the vigils during COVID. We opted not to for several years. So when we brought the vigils back again, we were a little concerned about what the turnout would look like. We'd lost some momentum, obviously, but it was, people came out in droves. And I don't think we've ever had a larger turnout than we did that time when people came back, because people were really looking forward to have that opportunity to gather. And I think it's just cemented the fact that this is our event. This is our opportunity to be able to bring families together and for them to hold space for them so that they can do what they need to do. They need to, you know, they want to remember their loved ones. They want to honor their loved ones. They want to bring awareness to the community. And it's just a beautiful event to be able to do that.
Explain the significance of candlelight vigils and recognizing crime victims and their families.
What we do at the vigils is that we read the names of all of the crime victims that previous year. So, for example, this year we have approximately 100 people who have been impacted by homicides throughout the county, and we read those names. In addition to that, we have families who come every year. We call them our alumni, people who have lost their loved one, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, who still continue to come out because they want to participate in the event. And so we read their names one at a time, individually. We read their name, we lift up our candle, and we remember that person specifically. And we have people who show up the day of, who didn't tell us they were coming, and add their name to the list, and their name is read. And so I think holding a moment and reading that name out loud is very, very important. I think that people want to know that their loved one is remembered, and that we still honor them, and that we say their name and remember their name. In addition to that, we have a memorial wall where we engrave the names of the people whose lives were lost that previous year. We get approval from the families. They, you know, they sign a release form so that we can add their names to the wall. And this year we have approximately about another 100 names that we're adding to that wall. The wall is open to the public. So if anybody is ever interested in coming out and taking a look at it, it's at the DA's office in what we call the Memorial Courtyard on Orange Street. And it's a very impactful memorial to see all of those names. There's over about 4,000 names on that wall now. And we see family members come and sit there and put flowers and sit there for a moment, and then they leave throughout the year. So after the vigil in Riverside, people come over to the memorial wall for the unveiling of the new names.
Why is it so important to say the names of the victims?
So that they're not forgotten, so that they're remembered. You know, there is a story in Mexican tradition and about death, and let me see if I can remember it. But the story goes that there are three deaths. There's when the last breath is taken. The second death is when you bury the body. And the third death is when you no longer see that person's name and they're forgotten forever. So for us, this is just an opportunity to say their name out loud again and to remember them and to know that they are still a presence, that their life was not in vain, that we remember what they contributed to the community and that their loss is still felt and it's still significant.
I'm speaking with Patty Cardenas, Assistant Director of the Division of Victim Services for the Riverside County DA's Office, and Regional Manager Karina Meza Vasquez. What can people expect at the candlelight vigils this year? Like, what's the structure of the events?
The structure of the events, both at the Indio Vigil as well as in the Riverside Vigil, are very similar. We have, as Patty mentioned earlier, we have people read out names of those that have been lost. And then we have two amazing choirs that sing throughout the event as well. And we have two amazing speakers that have experienced loss, and they will share their story with the crowd as well.
How do the vigils in Riverside County support victims and survivors, and what role do they play in the community's healing process?
I think it's important to have these vigils in healing the community because it gives victims a space, a time, a date in which all the families come together and they share in this experience, not only at the vigil, but also knowing that there's other families that have gone through the exact same thing that they are going through.
Tell us about the online campaigns taking place throughout this next week. How can people get involved remotely, and what impact do these campaigns have?
Sure. The events that we have online are, on Monday we will have a video where our DA, Michael Hestrin, and our director, Melissa Donaldson, will talk about the history of the National Crime Victims Rights Week and the movement and where we as a division are headed in the initiatives that we've had throughout the year. On Tuesday and Thursday, those are the nights of the vigils, we will have an opportunity to highlight our speakers. Both of their stories are very unique. They're very different. And so they will have an opportunity to highlight their, give a brief bio about what they'll be speaking that evening. On Wednesday, it will be a short video that will highlight some of the campaigns that we've had throughout the year, one of them specifically being what we call the Justice No More campaign. And that is, we've talked to different crime victims that have been impacted by legislative changes that changed the sentencing of the case that they were involved in. So for example, there are lifer cases where we thought these folks were going to be in prison for the rest of their lives. And because the law has changed, there are early releases that are happening. And so this impacts the family significantly. And so in sharing what those stories, how it impacts the community, how it impacts the families, I think is very important. So that's been one of the campaigns that we've had throughout the year. And we'll be talking about that specifically on a Wednesday video. And then on Friday, it's a video where we recap the events of the two vigils, the Tuesday and Thursday vigils, the Indio and the Riverside vigils. And it's just a highlight reel of people, you know, gathering together, hugging, you know, the lifting of the candles, the different dignitaries that attend the event. I think it's really important that they also show up and be present and let the community know that they're not alone on this journey, that the community is also involved in making sure that justice is done.
You'll have a couple of speakers at these candlelight vigils sharing their personal stories. What are they going to be discussing?
The Tuesday vigil, our Indio speaker will share their experience as he lost his parents in a home invasion robbery that turned into a homicide. Both of his parents were killed in that home invasion robbery. And then on Thursday, we will have next of victim, next of kin, will be sharing her story about how she lost her sister in a domestic violence situation due to her sister's husband. So they will be sharing their stories as to how they were involved with the homicides, how the criminal justice system went for them, and just, you know, sharing their stories with everyone that will be present at the vigils.
Both speakers are going to be addressing topics like loss, grief, resilience, and healing. Why is it so important for survivors to share their journey toward healing with the community?
I think it's important for them to share this because, as I mentioned before, people that come to the vigils are people that have gone through the same experience. And I think it's important for them to know that they're not alone and that others have gone through the exact same thing that they have gone through, and that it's okay to go at their own pace and have their own healing.
How do these personal stories help raise awareness and foster understanding about the challenges that crime victims face during and after their trauma?
One of the interesting things about this is that it's very unique to every individual. Everybody goes through the process differently. Some people have really positive experiences with the investigation early on and the criminal justice system, and the result is positive for them, or it's something that they expected. Other people, not so much. Other people may not have liked the way the investigation went early on, may not be satisfied with the final outcome. The other thing, too, is that people are at different stages. So when you look out into the crowd at the vigil and you see, you know, in Riverside, like 1,000 people out there, and you have some people who just lost someone maybe a few weeks ago. And you have other people who maybe lost their loved one 10 years ago. You have other people, like one of our speakers, who lost their family member, both of his parents, decades ago, and has already had to go through the lifer process and a resentencing and having to do a trial the second time around. And so it never really ends. So the whole idea of closure is kind of non-existent when it comes to people being victims of crime. I think there are different things that sort of open up the wound again. And I think one of our goals is to prepare some of our folks who maybe have been recently victimized so that they understand that this is going to be a process, that there's really no finality, and that they're not alone, like Karina said, that they may be feeling a certain way today, that they may feel differently tomorrow, and that all of the feelings are validated and normalized, and that our goal is to just let them know that we understand, and that we understand that it's complicated, it's complex, and it's ever-changing, and we're there to be able to walk with them through this journey.
What message do you hope the community takes away from hearing these stories of loss and resilience?
I think the takeaway is that, unfortunately, we're never prepared for these things when they happen in our lives. They may never happen. I think I mentioned to you last time, Pepper, that if some people don't know what the district attorney's office does or what victim services does, it's okay. It's okay that they don't know, because that means that they've not been touched by crime. They've not been victimized. And so I come across people all the time that are like, I didn't even know that that was a career. And I'm like, yeah, it's a career. We're quite busy. But if people are not impacted by crime, great, perfect. But when they are, people need to know where to go, and people need to know what services are available to them, and people need to know that they're not going to be walking through that process alone, that they're going to have a specialist assigned to them, that they're going to have an attorney working on their case specifically, and that we're going to do our very best to try to make sure that they're ushered through the system with as little re-victimization as possible, and show them that there may be light at the end of the tunnel, however far that tunnel may be and however long it may take us to get there, but that they're not going to be walking alone. And I think the community who aren't impacted, I think when they come out to the vigil or they see some of our videos online, I think they should be grateful that they don't know what we do and that they haven't been impacted. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to know that things are happening out there in the community, and that it's important to be safe and vigilant and to know what kind of resources are available to people when they need it.
I'm speaking with Patty Cardenas, Assistant Director of the Division of Victim Services for the Riverside County DA's Office, and Regional Manager Karina Meza Vasquez. How does the DA's Office support victims of crime, not just during National Crime Victims' Rights Week, but throughout the year?
You know, I like to share what some of our other programming has to do. And we have STORIES, which stands for Stories Told or Read in Empowering Spaces. And it's a platform that the Riverside County District Attorney's Office created for storytelling and public engagement for victims of crime. This year's, we have an art exhibit in which victims come together and they create. This year's, it was Lighting a Path to Hope, which was victims of sexual assault. And we also had Changing Our Story for domestic violence survivors. And so they created beautiful art that we will be displaying throughout the county as part of our Victims' Rights Week exhibits.
And how can the community continue to support these individuals beyond attending the vigils? Like, are there resources or programs available for those in need of assistance?
Our victim services specialists are always available to provide victims of any types of crime with resources or programs that are available throughout the county for them. And it's not just something that we do during Victims' Rights Week. We do it all year long.
I think in addition to that, if someone in the community thought that perhaps they would like a presentation from the Division of Victim Services to come out to their organization, we go out to different community-based organizations all the time to do presentations about what the Division of Victim Services does as just an awareness campaign. We're available for that as well. So if people wanted to call us and ask us if we can come out and do a presentation, we'd be more than happy to do that.
Is there anything else you want to share about the vigils or National Crime Victims Rights Week?
What I would like to share is just to invite the community to come out and participate. Again, we have different ways that the community can come out and participate, either if it's coming to the vigils, which again are Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., either in Indio at the Palm Desert Civic Center in Indio or at the Historic Courthouse in downtown Riverside on Thursday at 7 p.m. In addition to that, like Karina said, we do have the Healing Hearts exhibit that will be traveling throughout the county. It will be in the media room in Riverside the week of National Crime Victims Rights Week, so it will be displayed and it will be open to the public during business hours. And I think it's important for people to see the art. I think it's very impactful. There's stories associated with each piece of art that explains what the victim has gone through and what that piece of art meant to them. So I think that there are plenty of opportunities for people to participate and engage and just become aware of these services and these resources.
What can individuals and organizations do to ensure crime victims' voices are heard year-round, and how can they help promote healing and justice in Riverside County?
I think referring into the Division of Victim Services, I think just becoming aware, like we said, that the division exists, that the district attorney's office is not just prosecuting cases, that along with that, there is guidance and support and counseling services available to victims of crime, to witnesses that witness crime, to the family members who are impacted by the victimization, and that we will guide them through that. So I think that if people become aware of somebody somebody in the community who has experienced some sort of loss or some sort of victimization, knowing that they can refer into us or that they can give us a call, we'd be happy to reach out to people and make sure that they get the services that they need.
You mentioned your Stories program a little bit earlier. Can you tell us more about that?
So our Stories, like I mentioned earlier, it's a platform that we created for victims of various crime types. And we believe that art is a form of therapy. And so we create workshops throughout the year for different crime types and invite victims to come in and create something beautiful that they can take home and serve it as a form of therapy for them, which we have seen it's been very beneficial to our victims, and they really enjoy us doing that. And so we will continue to do that as well.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been speaking with Patty Cardenas, Assistant Director of the Division of Victim Services for the Riverside County DA's Office, and Regional Manager Karina Meza Vasquez. Tell us about the proclamation you received last week.
Sure. I think it's important for the community to know that our elected officials are very aware of National Crime Victims Rights Week and that they're very supportive here in Riverside County of the work that we do. And so during Victims Rights Week, we received proclamations from different organizations. Last week, Karina and I were at the City of Riverside and received a proclamation there with the mayor and the city council people. And there is just an opportunity for them to acknowledge the work that we do throughout the year. And obviously, we're there also to invite them to the event, which they come every year. In a couple of weeks, we'll also be attending the Board of Supervisor meetings, and our Board of Supervisors also attend the vigils. And so I think it's just important for the community to know that this is a community effort, and that all of our dignitaries and all of, you know, a lot of our elected officials are aware of and are actively supporting the work that we do.
National Crime Victims Rights Week takes place this year, Sunday, April 6th, 1 week from today through Saturday, April 12th. Anything else you want us to know?
The theme this year for National Crime Victims Rights Week is Lighting a Path Towards Hope. And you know, I think what's important about that, when we sat and talked about the message that we wanted to send the community this year, is that what we're doing is just guiding that path. Every path looks, it looks different for everybody. So what we're doing is trying to provide different opportunities and different avenues for people to be able to find the right way and the best way for them to what hope is going to look like, what healing is going to look like. For some people, it's advocacy. It's getting involved in the movement. It's getting involved in legislative changes. For some people, it's doing therapy. For other people, it's doing art. And so I think it's important that as a division, we get creative and get unique and offer as many different opportunities and different ways to be able to offer that to the folks that we work with so that there can be something that fits them.
And I think it's also important to let the community know that it, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it's not just an office event. It is a whole community. We have elected officials that come out because this is important to them as well. And they know that their communities are being affected. So, you know, we invite everyone to come out along with everyone else that has been victimized. And even if you weren't a victim and you would like to support victims out there, please come out to any of the two vigils.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. today, and thank you for making a difference in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.